Hello, my name is Tom Clendon, and I am an ACCA SBR online lecturer. And in this edition of my podcast, I'm looking at investment properties. I'm looking at ISA 40. And this accounting standard is examinable at the lower level, but it also is examinable at SBR. Now, when you buy property, when you buy land and buildings, I suppose the default assumption is that it's going to be accounted for as property, plant and equipment. It's going to be governed by ISA 16. Now, it's possible that it could be inventory. If you've bought the property to sell on in the ordinary course of business. And it's also possible that it could be held for sale. It could be IFRS 5. If it's previously been a non-current asset and now those conditions are met. But I want to talk about owning land and buildings, owning property as an investment property. And it starts therefore with the definition. What is an investment property? Well, it's property that is held for its investment potential. It's property that's held to earn rentals or for capital appreciation, or even potentially both. Now, such property doesn't actually need to be used. It can be vacant. It could even be rented out under an operating lease. It could even be in the course of construction, providing that we are constructing it for future use as an investment property. But for the avoidance of any doubt, if we ourselves are owner-occupiers, if we're using the building, then it cannot be regarded as an investment property. If we're building it for somebody else, that's not an investment property. And if we're leasing it out under a finance lease, if we're a lessor and we're leasing it out under a finance lease, that's not an investment property, but if we were leasing it out under an operating lease, it would be. And yes, IFRS 16 for lessors does still contain that distinction between finance leases and operating leases, but that's not the objective of today. So what's the accounting treatment for a property that is an investment property? Well, for starters, we have a choice. So there's an accounting policy decision over measurement. It can either be at fair value or it can be at cost. Now, if we elect to have our investment properties at fair value, we don't charge depreciation and we do take the gains or losses to the profit and loss account for the year. And that's very different from PPE. That's very different from ISA 16, because ISA 16 basically takes gains and losses to equity, but requires depreciation to be charged. If the business wants to, it can measure the investment properties at cost, but if it does so, the depreciation must be charged on the building element. Now, that choice cannot be made on a property-by-property basis. So the company has to make a global, has to make a uniform treatment, a global choice, a uniform treatment for all investment properties that are either all at fair value, gains and losses through P&L, or they're all at cost. Now, if I was the finance director of a company, I think I would choose to have it at fair value. Partly because fair value to me seems to be relevant. I've bought the property and I want to be held to account for my investment decisions. So when it goes up, I want the credit, I want the recognition that it's a good decision, and I should be held to account if the value goes down. And so I think it's better stewardship. I think it's better accountability. I think it's more relevant and more useful if businesses use fair value in this particular context. But nevertheless, the standard allows cost, and that is fine. Now, there's a couple of issues that can arise around investment property, one of which revolves around partial use. So you could own 40 acres of land, or you could own a building with 40 floors. And it's possible that the company could occupy 5 acres or 5 floors. And therefore, it's technically possible to have one asset which is identifiably split into separate components and accounted for differently. Because to the extent that it's owner-occupied, those 5 acres, those 5 floors of a building would be PPE, but to the extent the rest of the property is held for its investment potential, would lend it to be accounted for under ISA 16. So there's a small issue there around partial use. It is feasible. There's another issue around intercompany. So if you can imagine a situation where the parent company has a property which it rents out under an operating lease to a sub, in the individual accounts of the parent, that property could be held as an investment property, because it's being rented out to the subsidiary, and in the subsidiary's perspective, they're just simply paying rent to the parent. But when you look at it from a group perspective and you take into account the single entity approach, that you are preparing the group as if the group is a single entity, then the group has a property which the group is using, is owner-occupying, and therefore, in a group context, it's not an investment property, even though it may be from the perspective of the parent company. And of course, any transactions of rent between rental expense and rental income between the parent and the sub and the sub and the parent would be eliminated on consolidation. So there's a little aspect there around intracompany and around group accounts. But my final little point about an investment property, we may be renting it out, but you've got to be a little bit careful that you're not also providing Wi-Fi and heating and cleaning and security and meals and a bar. Because if you're providing a lot of ancillary services, if you're renting it out, providing the furniture, well, you're running a hotel, aren't you? You know, you're running a business, you're trading from it. It's not an investment property. There's too many other activities going on. So just bear that in mind. But I would like to recap. An investment property is an interest in land and buildings that you're holding for its investment potential, which means capital appreciation or rental income. The accounting treatment that is normally adopted is at fair value, but no depreciation is charged and the gains and losses go through P&L. Now, that's not everything that I know about investment properties. It's not everything that could be tested on investment properties, but I like to try and keep these things short and sweet, and that's the basics. If you're interested in passing SBR, whether you want tuition, whether you want revision, whether you want a mock exam, please get in touch with me. All of my courses come with WhatsApp support, and I can even give you a pass guarantee if you sign up for my Platinum course. Full details on my website. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this particular edition.